We can't even discuss geopolitics anymore. It's so off the wall.
No,
there's no consistency.
But since
to
this
it.
Is Catholic radio, we can say we need to pray hard. Because people need grace.
Yep.
We can't rest on our laurels.
No. We need to pray hard. We live in such a wonderful nation that enables us the freedom to be able to worship, you know, openly, and we need to pray hard.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Oh. And speaking of prayer, I watched a certain interview the other night. I really enjoyed it.
You know, it's funny. Tom had just sent it that, you know, we're going to talk about this interview clip. And so I'm getting dressed this morning and I just click it on. I don't even see who it's with. I'm like, oh, it's probably some theologian. And all of a sudden I hear Todd Sylvester's voice. And I'm like, I've got to listen to him. I listen to him all day.
You don't need to listen to me. I was going to say, you've had enough of me.
Well, you know what was good about it was... I think you need to leave the studio. I think your confidence in, you don't know what you're doing, but you totally trust in God. And I think that really came through, you know, just having this confidence and trust in God that whatever was going to come, even if you didn't think you could handle it, God was bigger than all of that.
Amen.
And that really came through. Your peace about even all the changes you had and everything. So I just thought that was really beautiful, besides the practical advice you gave on working for the church.
Well, you know, the thing that I really, what I texted Todd was, what I really appreciated, and I think Donald Paul did as well, and I'm sure Andrew Thompson, if he's able to watch it, I think he would gain from it as well, is the approach to prayer. And I think sometimes, and the great Carucci, somebody that Todd and I both know for many, many years, one of the things that both Todd and I love about the great Carucci, he's father realist. Mm-hmm. he's not father idealist, he's father realist, which means you live in the world, this is your situation, figure it out, okay? And I think the takeaway that I got from what you were sharing with Donald Paul was, when it comes to prayer, we can sometimes let the perfect become the enemy of the good. So they're coming from the seminary experience, and I thought this was a very profound insight. Now, here's the thing. Donald Paul, if you're listening, Andrew, if you're listening, I got news for you. Your classmates that you were in seminary with, the priests, when they get ordained, one of the things that they will tell you is the hardest adjustment is, wait, we're not praying to anybody. I've talked to many a newly ordained priest. It'll be 9 o'clock at night. I remember my brother when he was first newly ordained, 9 o'clock at night. Oh my, I got to pray the office, right? Because you're so habituated to praying the office in community when you're in seminary, mm-hmm. that now you're newly ordained, you're out and about and you're on your own. Oh wait, I've got to make sure that I've got my office in because this is going to ground me and this is going to keep me. Mm-hmm. And so when you were sharing about how, you know, cause those both guys said that one of the toughest adjustments was getting out into the world. And it's like, hey, wait, I haven't prayed today. And I just thought that your words there were just beautiful.
Mm-hmm. I appreciate that, Tom. I mean, it's important, I think, for all of us to realize that God is definitely calling everyone to pray. But how that is supposed to look and at different seasons in our life within our different vocations is going to be different. Right, Tom?
Yeah. You know, you as a married man, like you even said, like when you and Angel become empty nesters, it's going to look even different. I remember my dad, God rest his soul, saying that years ago. He had said that when he was finally able to retire from all his jobs, and, you know, listen, you know, I know people don't want to hear this, but, you know, more and more over the years, the income, the burden, people don't realize it. My dad was working until he was close to 70. Now, working, my dad had no problem working, but... I mean, retirement, you know, moves back further and further. And, you know, when he was able to finally be free of that and did not have to have that burden of, like, I still got to put a 10-hour day in, he said, I'm going to devote a holy hour every day to the Blessed Sacrament. And so he became a perpetual adorer at St. Gregory Barbarigo Parish. That was something that was very important. And then he became kind of super sub, you know. My dad was somebody who you could wake up without an alarm clock. It was the craziest thing in the world. Like, how do you wake up without anything telling you to wake up? You just did, you know, 3 o'clock in the morning. Like what you said, Todd, about praying the divine office. Like you'll just wake up and it's and you have time to pray. Like, oh wow, okay. And so your situation in life is going to change. So Donald Paul is a relatively newly married man, and you know, with two young children, his time of prayer is going to probably manifest itself differently than, say, someone like myself, a little bit older situation where, you know, I've got more life experience. I don't mean that in a negative way. You know, I just figured out to say when I get up, I try to get up about an hour before everybody else so I could have that time to pray the office and have, as my dear friend Deacon Labadie likes to say, my morning coffee. You know, it's just a great way of being able to start the day. But each person has to figure it out. And that was the takeaway that I took from it. Don't let the perfect become the enemy of the good. Don't let the ideal paralyze you. Put yourself in your position and figure it out in ways that you – like, I like what you talked about, the bridge. You know, going across the bay. Well, I do the same thing. Well, that's a rosary and a Divine Mercy chaplet. I love that. That's mm-hmm. how I think too.
You know, it's good, and I think we need to be reminded by looking around. Sometimes I think for the everyday person that's maybe in church on Sunday, they're looking around, going, "Oh, well, look at them. They're all way holier than me. They have it together. Their kids are dressed, and their hair is brushed, and things like that." But the fact is, I think that everybody struggles, whether it's in prayer life, and you just giving tips were really, really helpful. And then not to beat up on yourself. Just, you know, each day I wake up, part of my prayer, or usually it's more at night when I'm kind of going through my day. Well, that didn't go so well, God, but I'm going to try to do better on that tomorrow. You know, I'm going to be more patient, more kind, all of the things that I didn't exhibit today. And you just, you know, you kind of just get up every day, the joy of living, and really just put forth trying to do just a little bit better. And if you fail, I think we, as humans, especially those that are trying to strive for holiness, we beat ourselves up a whole lot. And then it's not effective the next day because we are wallowing in our self, you know, where we're just beating ourselves up over this, and we really have to let it go. I think God is maybe more merciful on some of our stumbles than we are on ourselves, especially if you're really on a path for holiness. If you're looking for an excuse to stumble and, oh yeah, then that's not really the proper way of thinking about how to live a holy life. But I think it's really important just to see the faith lived out, even imperfectly, if that makes sense.
No, amen. And Todd, you said something that I really appreciated. And again, folks, if you're listening, please do not take this the wrong way, and do not ascribe to Todd what I'm about to say, because if I'm reading Todd the wrong way, then he can correct me. But when he was talking about prayer is not so much about God and changing his will or his mind. It really is about changing my will and my mind about things. I think that is so important and needs to be said from the rooftops, because I'll see people, and I don't mean this in a derogatory way, because I think I know what they mean when they say it, but something terrible will happen, for example, and as, oh, we got to pray the rosary. And then keep them coming. The prayers are working. Hold on now. Mm-hmm. Even if the outcome that you did not want winds up happening, guess what? The prayer still worked. Mm-hmm. Whatever that means, because it's not a cost-benefit analysis. We cannot reduce and quantify the spiritual realm like that. That's not how it works. Prayer works no matter what